Welcome to the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is all about traditional process photography. We talk about instant photography. We talk about black and white. We talk about color film. We talk about dry plate, wet plate, you name it, alternate printing processes, everything going on in analog photography. And of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is brought to you by Fujifilm over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. They have beautiful C41 color neg, black and white, color chrome, and of course, instant. Instant film rocks. These guys have so much great things going on right now with instant film. Of course, they have the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4 by 5 color, black and white, high speed black and white. But you know what's even cooler? They have the Instax cameras and film. The Instax Wide is in the country, available everywhere. And of course, right now, brand new, the Instax Mini is now in the U.S. They have cameras. They have film. This Instax Mini is 2.5 by 3.5. It's the size of a business card. This is really fun stuff. You got to check it out. www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all your film to get developed, proofs, you name it. They got a great workflow going. www.richardphotolab.com, DR5, for the most unbelievable proprietary process to turn your black and white film into positives, into chrome. You won't believe until you get your film back as a piece of chrome will blow your mind. The dynamic range, the latitude, it's just unbelievable stuff. Definitely check it out. www.dr5.com. Iger Studios, Lenny Iger, the place to have high-resolution scans done. You know, a lot of people now are shooting analog. They're using a high-resolution scan. They're making digital negatives on an inkjet, or maybe they're going straight to an inkjet output, but they're making digital negatives and they're printing contact prints. They're doing all the stuff you need to get a high-resolution scan. They're using an Aztec Premier, 8,000 PPI, adjustable aperture. They can give you scans that are basically grain-free. They can adjust it for every kind of film out there. This is crazy stuff going on with Lenny Iger and the guys at Iger Studios. Check them out, igerstudios.com. And of course, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. The camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder. Our media partners, www.apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group. The place on the web for all things analog process. This is a great place to learn, to share information, to get tips and tricks. The community for analog photography, www.apug.org. And of course, our photographic philanthropy partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, www.geh.org. The place to go to find out about the history of traditional analog photography. These people are keeping this alive. They have over 7,000 cameras in the museum of everything that's ever been made, including the Hasselblads that were shot on the moon. You name it. They have the collection. This is a great way to help support. You can be a member of George Eastman House organization. They have a lot of great things going on, but this is something you can do to help give back to photography, to help keep traditional analog photography alive for generations to come. Definitely check them out, www.geh.org. This week on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to have with us Richard Israel. Richard is joining us on the program today. Richard has been starting to do more large format portraiture work. So today we're going to talk with Richard about what he's doing to move it into more large format portraiture, how he's shooting more large format, what he's doing, what he's using for equipment for film, and just see what's going up with Richard, a beautiful, great photographer out of North Carolina. Richard, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, thanks, Scott.
Thanks for joining us again on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you back on the program. And I think today, Richard, we wanted to chat about, and we talked about this last time that we did the other program, was you have previously shot large format portraiture. You did some unbelievable, beautiful wedding portraits on chrome that were just over the top. And I know now you've even been pushing even further into the large format portraiture. So give us a little background again here. Tell me about Richard and what you guys are doing there. And then let's get into the whole thought behind the large format portraiture, the aesthetics, and all this kind of cool stuff.
Okay, well, many moons ago, when I first started photography, which was like 25 years ago, I was just in the mode of playing and discovering. And one of my very most favorite and inspirational photographers to me was a guy called Paolo Reversi. He's an Italian fashion photographer, and he shot everything on 8x10, and as far as I know, still does. At that time, he was shooting with 8x10 Polaroids, and they were just absolutely awesome, and they just, like, totally grabbed me. And then, as one does, I obviously discovered Richard Avedon and Irving Penn and all their wonderful stuff shot with large format. That also was inspired by George Harrell and all the early sort of 1930s Hollywood photographers. I just love that look. So I was renting space in a studio, and there was lots of other photographers, and there were several product photographers, and they had 4x5 Cyanars and things. And I got one of my friends to show me the basics of how to operate one. I just fell in love with it and just started shooting my fashion stuff with it, my beauty stuff, mainly for testing, and occasionally I would shoot jobs on it too. I just loved it, the look of the whole thing. I mean, it can be so incredibly detailed, but at the same time, it can be so incredibly soft. And depending on how you use it and how you light with it and stuff, there's so many different looks you can get from it. If you use strobe, you can get like amazingly 3D detailed shots, which I do. I use either natural light or I use hot lights. I have a couple of very old former Sony studio Mole Richardsons, and I use those, which obviously gives that real like Hollywood, very dramatic film noir type of lighting, which goes beautifully with the 4x5, and I just love it.
So right now, all the portraiture that you're doing is typically medium format and 35, or it typically had been up until what's progressing now, correct?
Yes. Well, I do shoot a lot of kids, and obviously shooting 4x5 on a three-year-old is not going to work, really. But I tend to shoot those with 35mm, and then I'll throw some medium format in there. I'm really using the 4x5 for older people who are able to sit still for a length of time. And I love doing portraits of women so that they can be captured in their prime, so that they can have a definitive portrait of themselves when they're looking really good. And then the 4x5 with that just works beautifully.
So I guess let's talk about the aesthetics of what you find with shooting 4x5 over, let's say, medium format. So what do you like about and the difference in shooting medium format over large format in portraiture?
Well, number one, I suppose, would be the tonality of a 4x5 negative or chrome. The image looks almost 3D. It looks larger than life. The depth of field, I mean, I always shoot wide open pretty much. And shooting wide open on a 4x5 camera, even if the lens only stops down to f8, the depth of field is incredibly shallow and gives a beautiful softness. There's like a softness and a detail all at the same time. So you've got the softness, but you've got detail. So if you're really focusing on the face and the eyes just like come at you, the fall off will be pretty quick. So like the ears, the hair will be like really very, very soft out of focus. But the eyes and the face will be very, very sharp. And of course, you've got the lens board tilting. You can really enhance it with that as well. The selective focus thing can be dramatically enhanced by tilting the lens, which I generally sort of like tilt the lens forward a little bit.
Do you find that the compression on using different lengths versus medium format to 35, it's more aesthetically pleasing with the 4x5?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've never really used wide-angle lenses. I've just used a 150 lens, which is considered a standard lens in the 4x5. And a 210 lens, which I suppose it would be the equivalent of like an 80mm lens on a 35mm camera. Everything I love when I'm shooting medium format and 35mm, everything that gets me going is exaggerated when I'm shooting large format, if that makes sense.
Sure. What do you think, Richard, about the difference in using a portrait or, let's say, a camera that has less adjustability? So, of course, you can find yourself an old century number whatever portrait camera that has basically some lift and fall in the front. Everything else is pretty set. You got a few light adjustments, and then you can get a field camera that has tilt, shift, swing, lift, fall, rise, back, the whole deal. So what do you find that you really use when you're doing large format portraiture compared to, let's say, if I just wanted to get an old speed graphic?
Well, in fact, just before we started talking, I was actually online looking at speed graphics and crown graphics. Because they will give you all you need. I mean, I personally am not a highly technical large format user by any means. The only sort of movements I use are the front lens board tilting, and that's it, just to exaggerate the selective focus. And I really never use the rise and falls and the swings and things, which obviously architectural photographers and people who want to sort of correct perspectives will use. That stuff for doing portraits, or what I do anyway, is really redundant and not necessary. So a speed graphic, a crown graphic would be ideal to get started with, for sure.
Let's talk about your business itself, and I think that you're going to actually be doing more and more large format work, actually offering this as a service more and more moving forward. So let's talk about your thoughts with what you're going to do with large format portraiture and how this sort of incorporates into your business model and how you can effectively charge more for this type of work and what you're going to be doing.
Well, actually, at the very latest, at the beginning of the year, I'll be completely relaunching my portrait business and my portrait website. And basically, I'm going to be offering only black and white film, and the large format is going to be a big part of that. I mean, I hate to sort of sound like a grumpy old man about this. People always like moan and whine about new photographers coming in en masse into the business, and it's fine. In our area, and I'm sure in many other areas, there are so many soccer moms with their digital rebels and D6s out there shooting and chasing three-year-olds around the backyard and all that stuff. Although, hopefully, my work is better than theirs. A lot of people can't tell the difference. You have to separate yourself. I just really felt that by really focusing in finally on a niche, just like I have with the weddings, it's going to be great for us. And so I'm just going to be offering only black and white. Might still shoot some cut, but I'm going to basically focus in on black and white fiber-based prints as the deliverable and just doing something that is completely opposite from what everyone else is doing and is totally what my passion is. So I'm following the premise that if one follows one's passion, then the rest will follow.
Now, of course, you're shooting weddings. Do you have brides knowing any different or have actually wanted to have some large format bridal portraiture done? What have you found with your client's portrait versus the wedding stuff? Do you find that brides might have an interest in what you're doing?
Yes, they are. In actual fact, I'm really good at running my mouth about things and just talking and telling everyone about stuff. And all my brides for next year, I've been talking about this and even incorporating it into their wedding coverage too. Next year, I want to take a more of a proactive role in shooting so that I can be freed up a little bit to sort of like play, because obviously you can't be running around and the usual rush of a wedding and put out a 4x5 camera, because it's obviously a lot more slower and you have to be more considered and deliberate with what you're doing. So we're going to set time aside to do that, and with Liz taking more responsibility with the shooting, I can then be free to play, and 4x5 is definitely part of that. Even with the family formal pictures, I think it'd be awesome to do those with large formats.
Well, sure. I mean, it's always better if you can have your second shooter actually be your primary, and it frees you up to grab the good stuff.
Exactly, because I second shoot with friends, but I always come back thinking, man, why can't I get that stuff at my own weddings?
Well, you're right. You're always running around trying to get what you have to get, and you're better off putting your assistant as primary and you be secondary.
Exactly, and it's all about just educating people, because most people, if you didn't explain it and you just started doing it, people always think, well, you're the photographer, where's the photography? So I think it's all about educating your clients, just explaining and showing them what you want to do and, you know, what's possible to do. Then they're very understanding about it, and I've got several brides next year that we're going to be doing that. We're going to be shooting 4x5 at their wedding and also their portrait.
Do you find, Richard, that anymore the photographer or even with your weddings that you're driving sort of the schedule is going, or with your business, has it been replaced enough that the wedding planners are actually driving the time and the scheduling with what's going on? Or do you still find that you have a influence in what happens?
Well, actually both. I mean, I work with some wonderful wedding planners and wedding designers, and they know me and we have a relationship. They always make sure that I get the time I need to get what I want to get. And next year, if we need to have more time, then they're going to be fine with that and schedule the right amount of time. I'm not talking about hours, but maybe an extra 15 minutes or something, because the wedding day takes on a life of its own and then they want to go and party and all that stuff. And oftentimes forget what we had discussed months before about doing all these awesome art pieces with them.
Do you find the bride has more of an interest now in actually creating that moment, that art piece, compared to just sort of burning stuff off on the fly? Do you think you'd be able to actually get people to do, let's say, a formal portrait session either prior or after the wedding where they got dressed back up and did a bridal portrait secondary from the event?
Yes, absolutely. And because I'm here in the South, that is a big thing here. I mean, doing the bridal portrait before the wedding is still a big thing, and most girls want to do that. And I love doing those things. I mean, that's one of my favorite parts. Doing it afterwards, I've had a few where we've threatened to do it, but it's never actually materialized because people get busy and the dress isn't quite as well-fitting as it was before the wedding and all that stuff.
So back to our large format portraiture, what do you like shooting on? I mean, I've seen some of your stuff that you've done some bridal portraits on Chrome that were just unbelievable on large format. Like you said, the way it looks, it's just incredible, really. Do you find that your clients really want to stick with black and white? Do they want color too? What do you see people requesting or looking for?
Well, when I'm doing my bridal portraits, I do shoot both. But when I'm doing my kids' portraits and my regular portraits, people love black and white. I mean, that's what I've been known for quite some time anyway. In fact, the last few months, I haven't even been shooting any color, or maybe like one roll or something. And people haven't really noticed. I mean, they love the black and white, so that hasn't been an issue at all. But the brides, I do like to throw some color in there as well. And I do love color, for sure. I think the black and white thing with the portraits is driven by aesthetics, but also for my desire to set myself apart, too.
Sure. Do you find that your clients are educated enough about photography and even art in general that they know the difference when you do black and white? Let's say you did C41 black and white and did a black and white print on a color paper versus a true black and white on silver gelatin.
Well, I don't think they would know if I explained it to them. But I think if they saw a real silver print that was just phenomenal, they would absolutely tell the difference. When I meet with people, I show them the difference, and yes, they see the difference. But I don't think most people know the difference just by knowing about it, just having the knowledge. Once they see it, they can absolutely tell the difference. And most of my brides are into photography, or they're into art, and they have an interest in photography, and one of the most important parts of their weddings. So I don't really get people who they're wishy-washy about photography. I mean, my clients definitely love photography.
Now, when you're shooting a large format, typically, let's say if someone wants to do an upgrade from median or 35 to a large format in some way, do you light the same way that you would light for a medium format portrait? Do you light continuous, like you said, HMI lighting better? What do you do about lighting from the large format aspect compared to like medium or 35?
Okay, well, I love shooting with the Mole Richardsons. I mean, flash has its place. I've never been a big flash lover. I just love the drama that one gets with hot lights. And actually, I used to shoot with HMIs back in London, our studio had a whole arsenal of these things, which I loved. But I just love the drama of the hot lights, the tungsten lights. I mean, when you're shooting 4x5 with people with hot lights, I mean, everything has to be a lot more considered. You almost have to work as a team together so that they're totally on board with what you're doing and the fact that once you focus, they really can't move too much. When you're using flash, obviously, then there's a lot more leeway because you're using, like, much smaller apertures and stuff. But I just like using the tungsten lights. I love the look.
Do you find that people are really looking for that dramatic look? Because like you said, anymore, your competition is shooting anywhere from a D60 to the highest end gear there is, D3X or a D3S or whatever it is these days, or a Canon 1D Mark IV. The deal is that I think with the static hot light, especially with the tungsten light and shooting black and white, you're probably creating a look that's the aesthetic of probably the 30s.
It is, absolutely, and that is what I'm going for when I go do that stuff. When I'm shooting the 35 and medium format, I really, really love to shoot with natural light. I can't give you an actual reason why, other than every camera I work with makes me work totally differently. So when I get that 4x5, I've got to get that tungsten light going, and it does. I put one light high, coming down on a slight angle, and then maybe I'll rake a focus light just on the back of them. So it's backlighting them a little bit, and it really adds to that 1930s George Harrell type of look.
Oh, sure, beautiful.
And people don't know to ask for it. That's why you have to educate your clients, that you show them, look at this. This is what I'm into. This is what I'm passionate about. And they'll go, wow, I want to do that.
Well, I think you're right. You show them an example of something that's very dramatically lit with some hard shadows and something that's very dramatic. It really brings out something that, like you said, it's going to make your work stand out over the competition.
Oh, absolutely. And as we know, everyone looks better with film. You've got that beautiful detail, but you've got that softness to it, which people love. Everyone looks better with films. In portraits, people want to look good, and it just works. I used to use pretty much exclusively Type 55 Polaroid film, which, of course, is no more, which added to that softness, too.
Now, talking about that, what do you like shooting large format portraiture on? Chrome and or black and white, color neg, what do you like?
Well, I haven't shot any 4x5 chrome for quite some time. Ultimately, I love the black and white the best. And like I said, I used to shoot all the time with Type 55. Now I'm shooting with Tri-X. And I have actually ordered a batch of Portra 4x5 films. So I am going to sort of like shoot some color as well. But Tri-X to me is pretty difficult to beat.
Oh, no, it's beautiful because you have that latitude, the dynamic range. but you still have with Tri-X over T-Max or even some other black and white emulsion. Is there's a texture, the granularity with Tri-X is pretty
good. Yeah, and it adds to that softness as well. I mean, I just love it. I understand that the new T-Max films are like really amazing, but I haven't used them yet. But I've heard people talk about them.
Yeah, and also some of the Fuji stock is incredible. The Neopan and the other one, you might want to try some Neopan 400. It's pretty beautiful.
Okay, yeah, I will. I didn't realize they made it in 4x5. On Freestyle, I've been looking, there's these, I can't even remember the names of them now, but they're like Eastern European films.
Oh, the F-Key and some of the other ones, sure.
F-Key and Forte, I think.
Yep.
They're supposed to be very reminiscent of the films from the 40s and 50s.
They are. If you look at some of the Eastern films, some of the F-Key stuff, and even the other ones you'll see on Freestyle and some of the other resellers that sell it, more of a basic emulsion, something like you would see from the 30s, 40s, or even the 50s.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try some of that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see, and I think people can offer this large format portraiture for their weddings or even their regular portrait work, and not a huge outlay in costs for equipment. I mean, what did it cost you to get back into the gear that you had when you were previously using the stuff in London?
Well, I had this amazing Deerdorf. It was an 8x10 with a 4x5 reducing back that I bought from this commercial furniture studio that was going out of business, and I sold it to this gentleman in High Point near where we live. And he apparently still has it, so I'm going to buy it back from him. Right now, I'm using a Calumet, like, rail camera. But I would love to get that Deerdorf back, man.
Yeah, or even a Gallenflex would be cool.
Yes, but they're very inexpensive now. You know, I mean, a Crown Graphic you can get for a couple of $100 at KH and stuff.
This is very true, and I think people shouldn't be scared of this large format stuff. And when they actually start shooting and offering this to some of their clients, they'd be quite amazed on the look and the quality that you get. You can't beat a huge negative.
No, you can't. And it's very simple to use. I mean, I was scared of it too, because you look at it and you think, oh my gosh, this is serious. This is like way beyond what I can do. But once I got into it and my friend explained to me very simple terms how it operates, I mean, it's way simpler than any modern day DLSR. I mean, it's got a lens and a viewing area and some way to put the film in, and pretty much that's it. So when you're doing portraits, you're not messing with all these complex movements. So you don't have to worry about that. You just stick it in and focus and shoot it, and that's how you'll learn, and eventually you'll figure out. I think the most difficult thing to learn is to slow down, because obviously you've got to slow down a lot, and you've got to really work in tandem with your sitter to make it happen. You can't just fire away, obviously. You've got to be much more considered.
Richard, tell us about your other work going on. I know that you're doing a lot of weddings there where you guys are at. Tell me about how the business has been this year. It looks like you guys are locked up here for a bunch of work next year. How are things with your business?
Well, it's been great. And this year has been one of our best years we've had, actually. And I would attribute it to like making myself a niche instead of just being out there. And I've been going and meeting with people and sort of getting myself out there a little bit. We've also been shooting Super 8, which has been a great thing. Super 8 movies, which my associate Liz is shooting. I know on the West Coast they've been doing that for a long time, but here people have never seen it before. So that's been a really good thing. And we shot three this year, and we got several others that are interested for next year.
So what are you doing for processing for your Super 8 and your workflow there? You're shooting it goes to a lab?
There's this great lab that a friend of mine who is an awesome cinematographer, he told me about this lab. They're very reasonably priced. And I send them the film. They put it on HD. They do a telecine transfer, and I get back high-definition QuickTime file. Then we edit in Final Cut, which has been a serious challenge learning that thing, that's for sure. I've got a friend who's a videographer, and for the first couple of movies, I was calling him every 5 minutes. He showed me the basics, but Liz is also editing those too, so that'll be her thing.
Wow, pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've shot a few myself, and actually, I loved doing it. And people always say, wow, what's that? They always comment on the camera and think, wow, that's so cool. I'm not sure what it is. Can't quite get their heads around that it's an old movie camera.
No, I mean, this stuff's beautiful. So, Richard, tell us about your website, your blog. You have beautiful work up here. I think people really need to go look at it. You even have some examples of some wedding portraiture up there that you've shot in Chrome. Where can people look at this stuff? Because it is pretty stellar work.
Well, thank you. Well, my website is richardisrael.com. My blog is richardisrael.com/blog. And I also have a blog which I have dedicated to my journey with film called ilovefilm.blogspot.com. And love is spelled L-U-V.
That's good stuff, and I think people should definitely look at it and see what you're up to, because you have a very unique look with your photography. the whole thing with the film just really sets it off compared to other people that are within the industry, especially within your area.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm actually the only person in our area that I know of who shoots film. And I think in the Southeast, I mean, I'm sure there's others, but I haven't actually met them or heard. There's Brian Johnson, who I think you've interviewed. He and I are probably one of the only film photographers in the Southeast that I know of. I'm sure there must be others, but it's the ones that I know of. So it's good. I love it. And it's reignited my passion for my work. And I don't spend my life in front of my computer, which is good. So I can spend time with the family more and doing things I want to do rather than glued to my Mac editing for hours and hours and hours.
When you get your stuff back from the lab and you get your scans back, how much time do you actually spend on the files?
I use Photo Mechanics just to go through and edit. When I was shooting digital, I used to edit in because it was a lot quicker. When I was shooting digital, I would shoot maybe 1,500, 2,000 images, and I'd have to cut it down to maybe 600-700 images. Now, I mean, I'm not joking. I mean, I probably throw away out of 15, 20 rolls, maybe 10, 15 images, and that's it. So it's very quick, and I might do the odd contrast adjustment, and that's it, and I'm done. I put my images online, so I have to do that. But it really takes me maybe a couple of hours instead of
a week?
Yeah, exactly. And then the portrait, there's nothing that needs to be done.
That's what I think is amazing. I have a lot of friends that shoot digital, and they're like, wow, I got to do this wedding, and each one's taken me 40 hours in between Photoshop, Lightroom, Aperture, and something.
No, it's ridiculous. It really is. Even shooting digitally, there's no excuse then that long. I think if people get it right in camera, then it's obviously going to be a lot quicker. It's taken me a while to wean myself off the attitude of looking at the images and think, okay, what am I going to do to them? And I suddenly realized, well, I don't have to do anything to them because they look exactly how I want them to look. My digital stuff, I still always think, okay, what should I do to them this time?
Yeah, do you find that you have clients, when they come to you, they're like, well, how come these photos don't look like they're so over the top? You see a lot of people, especially in the wedding industry that you do a lot of your work in, use so many plugins and so much post-processing that it's crazy.
It is crazy. And I mean, I think I might have mentioned this last time, but I think that a lot of people are going to look at their wedding albums in 20 years' time and think, oh my gosh, this is like so 2009. Now, obviously, the big thing is faux vintage looking stuff. I think people are looking at other photographers and trying to impress other photographers than trying to give their clients beautiful, timeless images of their wedding. So the over-photoshopped, stepped-on work is going to come back and bite people, I think, in a few years.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's so cool that you're actually breaking out here and doing some large format stuff. People need to go around and do a little bit of digging, but when you see large format portraiture, it is stellar.
It's gorgeous. And my wife is totally 100% behind me on this because she remembers when she first met me that I was like really into doing these portraits. I was doing a bunch of them. Then, of course, you sort of like get over it and move on to something else. Then we just started thinking, man, you need to start doing the large format stuff again. So it's interesting that you would talk to me about it just after I was getting back into it again. But I love it.
No, it is great. And if you actually go on Flickr, there's a large format portraiture group.
Oh, yeah. I've already been looking at it, actually. I love it. And also, I would love to be able to do what Ron Mowry does and coat my own negatives and things. But I think I should probably sort of like do this for the time being and then maybe think about that later on.
Yeah, those guys are doing some crazy stuff. They're making your own emotions, but it's pretty fun. I'm safer myself behind the camera, so.
yeah, exactly. And I made the mistake of telling my wife about wet plate collodion, where they're using like cyanide and they could blow up at any second. But now she thinks that anything like that, the house is going to blow up or something. So I may have to hold back on that for a bit.
Well, I guess once you have completely remastered the whole large format program, then you can start doing some wet plate work. It's pretty cool.
Yes, I would love to. I mean, I really, really would love to. And the platinum printing, and there's some incredible wet plate stuff that I've seen. On Flickr, too, actually, there's some people on there that do some unbelievable stuff.
There really is. And all the stuff is pretty cool and fun. And I think people just need to not worry about things and go out and shoot. Just take pictures.
Yeah, just have fun. I think photographers, particularly wedding and portrait photographers, particularly wedding photographers, have taken themselves way too seriously. So caught up in trying to impress their friends and showing everyone how cool they are and how hip and how up-to-date they are. A lot of people have lost the fun of photography and discovering new things and trying different stuff. There's so many different things you can do.
There is, and it's great to hear your enthusiasm and, of course, chat again with you, Richard. And it's really cool to hear about this large format portraiture because I think that people should look at this. And if they go look at some of the work on your blog on your other website. And of course, if they just cruise on over to Flickr, to the large format portrait section, you can just actually see the aesthetics of large format portraiture. And like you said, it's not highly expensive to get into.
No, it really isn't. The film's not expensive. And we actually have a great lab here in North Carolina, which I've been using for processing, and eventually we use them for my printing too. It's all fallen into place really well. And it isn't expensive, and it's not scary.
There you go. This is great stuff. Richard, I really appreciate you joining us today. Great to have you back on the program. We look forward to having you again. And I just appreciate the time to chat with us about your large format portraiture and what you've been up to, and just great stuff, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Scott. I enjoyed it, too.
Well, there you go. Richard Israel. Great stuff going on with Richard. So cool to see people doing large format portraiture. Unbelievable work. Richard has some really beautiful stuff. Definitely check out his website. The Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful over at www.fujifilmusa.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com, DR5 over at www.dr5.com, Iger Studios over at igerstudios.com, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com, and of course, our media partners, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group over at www.apug.org, our photography philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film over at www.geh.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photography Radio. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.